Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith.
No way out. Some people feel so trapped in their destructive habits, they might as well have iron chains binding them in prison. Today, a message on seeing those chains as part of a great spiritual war in which all of us are to learn to do battle. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're in a series entitled, How to Say No to a Stubborn Habit. Pastor Lutzer comes now with his fourth and final message, Breaking the Chains of Bondage.
Well, how's that sinful habit doing? Is it beginning to subside a little bit, or has the battle begun to increase? I hope that if you didn't begin taking seriously breaking some of your habits, if they are evil habits or sinful habits, I hope that someday you will get so sick of those bad habits that you begin to do something. It's amazing what happens in our lives when we really become fed up with the way in which we are. I've mentioned to you before that one of the greatest problems in counseling is that there are so few people who are really desperate. There are too many people who would like to do better, but they want some quick and easy solution. Now, if you have begun to work on a sinful habit, I can tell you that some of you probably did real well for 3 or 4 days, and then you fell back into the former pattern. The reason I know this is because it happens with such consistency in all of our lives that that's one of the problems that we have, is we go along for 6 days, possibly 7, and then just like that, we're back in the groove. You know, I think that there is something that we can learn from the experience that alcoholics have. I was reading a book recently on how to help those who are alcoholics, and I discovered something very interesting. The writers, who had a tremendous amount of experience, said that one of the problems that happens with people who are alcoholics is, first of all, they really have to get to the bottom before they are willing to change. You know, you get a guy who wakes up in a wrong town and finds out later that he caught a train and he didn't know where he caught it to nor when he got off of it. And at that particular juncture, he says, you know, I think it's time to change. Now, that's one of the first things that happens. Consequently, they just decide that they aren't going to take another drink. And they make that decision and they stick by it. They are so sick of what they've been doing that they go for one day and another day, and they might go for 2 or 3 weeks, absolutely determined that they will never have another drink. And then you know what happens? They become very, very proud of the fact that they've done so well, and pretty soon they begin to tell their friends, you know, it's been 2 weeks since I've had a drink. All the while, within them, there is a fear that they will go back to that drinking process, and the pressure is put on them at work and elsewhere, but they keep telling themselves, I am not going to go back, and so they stick it out. Until finally, after sticking it out for quite a long while, they finally are given their job back again, their children begin to respect them, their wife begins to trust them, and pretty soon they begin to say to themselves, at last, I've mastered it. And that is their downfall. Because they are served a drink and they think, finally, I can handle it. And they do one of two things. Either they take only one drink and that's all, or else that one drink so inflames them that pretty soon they're caught again. If they only take one drink and say that that's all, they are in equally bad trouble, because their pride and their ability to have mastered it will only grow, and it is only setting them up for a greater fall later on. If you began to break that sinful habit and it worked for 3 or 4 days, and then you began to skid back to your former way and you are no better off than when you started to tackle that habit, it probably is that somewhere along the line you developed the one thing that God abhors, and that is self-righteousness and self-confidence, because pride cometh before a fall and a haughty spirit before destruction. And one of the things that God tries to teach us in the constant cycle of success and failure, God is trying to say to all of us, don't you really know that you can't make it without a close walk with me? Don't you really know that there is no quick and easy solution? There is no way that the temptations and the habits that you have are going to be instantly broken forever until you realize that day by day you must be pushed very close up against me. And so that's the way God uses these sinful habits to crowd us to God. If you're struggling with a habit, give God thanks. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, because it is the stepping stone that God wants to use to teach you principles that will influence all areas of your life, so that it won't merely affect one little corner of your life, but you will use those principles in all areas, and God wants to teach you things that you couldn't learn without those problems. The Bible says this in the book of Deuteronomy. God says, I led the children of Israel through the wilderness. I took them where there was no water. I let them be hungry. I did all of those things. Why? Because God likes to see people hungry? Because He likes to see people struggle? No. It says that I might know what is in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep my commandments or no. And so you see, God keeps giving us lots of opportunities to see what is in our hearts. And temptation is one of them. And every temptation is a gift from God, in the sense that it gives us the choice and the ability to choose in His direction and to show our loyalty. And while God leads us to the place of temptation, He does not cause us to sin. Now, if you have been engaged in this business of breaking a sinful habit, you can't go very far before you realize that you are not merely wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. In the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 23, when David was trying to try on Saul's armor, it's very interesting. David says, I want to try the armor on to test it. That's the same word that is translated in the Old Testament as tempt. Tempt or test it. And one of the things that God wants us to do is to test our armor, and He allows a lot of arrows to be shot in our direction to see whether or not we are dressed well, and whether or not we are clothed with righteousness, and whether or not we have on the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation and the shoes that are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and whether we can use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And God allows those arrows to come in our direction, satanic exploitations of our sin that God allows to come in our direction, and He does that to test our armor to see whether or not we're clothed well. Now, I know that many of you are expecting an exposition from Ephesians chapter 6 on the armor of the Christian. I'm not going to do that, but that would be a good place to go from here. But we're not going to. We're going to go to another passage that talks about satanic conflict. Now, many times people say to me and to others, how do we know whether or not a problem is demonic? Now, in certain cases, problems are very clearly demonic because of the extreme situations that people might be involved in, and the characteristics of people, such as in the Mark chapter 5 passage, where you have the man who gave certain physical and mental and emotional characteristics. However, in most instances, the line between that which is fleshly and that which is demonic is perhaps too fuzzy for us to really figure out. But did you know that you don't have to? You don't have to. Because you can know that every sin that you commit is the sin through which Satan wants to agitate you.
You see, the doorway for him to exploit your sin is the doorway of that sinful habit. So it's true that your sinful habit might be a work of the flesh that is listed in Galatians: anger, wrath, drunkenness, sensuality. All of these things, or any one of them, may be your sinful habit, and it may be a work of the flesh, but you see, back behind that work of the flesh, oftentimes there are demonic powers who like to exploit the work of the flesh and who like to inflame desires and who like to take the works of the flesh and drive them until you are driven to utter destruction and dismay. And oftentimes we may not know where that line is, but in that sinful habit that we have, that is the stomping ground of Satan. That is his foothold in your life. And that's why it's so important for you to take care of that sinful habit. Now what I'd like you to do this evening is to turn to the fourth chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 4, where we have a story of Jesus Christ and how Jesus encountered Satan in his life and ministry. And what I'd like to do tonight is to give you a couple of observations, some observations from the fourth chapter of Matthew that I think will help us in warfare. And could I say to you tonight that you are in warfare? Sometimes I meet people who say, you know, I don't want to have a thing to do with Satan because I feel that if I will leave him alone, he'll leave me alone. And I say to them with as much love as I'm able to muster, and I've found that you can say almost anything to anyone if you smile when you're doing it. Did you know that? It's a good rule to follow. But I've said to them, you don't realize it, but you are already involved, completely involved. You are submerged in the battle and you have just capitulated because Satan has you neatly tacked away on a shelf called fear. So we're all involved. Now, I want you to notice several observations that I think are important for you in overcoming that sinful habit, and especially in that area of struggle where there is satanic conflict involved.
Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and you certainly are going to have to listen to Running to Win next time to listen to the rest of this message to understand what satanic conflict is all about and how Jesus has provided resources for us to stand against the devil. Well, this is one of the last days we're making available for you a book I've written entitled How to Break a Stubborn Habit. Perhaps you've heard me say this before, but this book does deal with the heart of the issue to help us to understand our affections and how God intends to change us from the inside out. Even as you contribute to this ministry, we are deeply grateful for your help. Remember the title of the book, How to Break a Stubborn Habit.
Next time, we'll get into the teaching from Matthew chapter 4 in detail. Pastor Erwin Lutzer has introduced Breaking the Chains of Bondage, the last of four messages in a series on how to say no to a stubborn habit. A series designed to set you free from that which binds you. How to Break a Stubborn Habit is a book by Pastor Lutzer that shows the path of victory over temptation. We'd like to send it as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.